If you've ever been to the Taft Museum of Art in downtown Cincinnati, no doubt you have taken in the beautiful paintings and the beautiful Chinese porcelain. And right now on view at the Taft Museum and on view through May 18th is a traveling exhibit called Threads of Heaven, Silken Legacy of China's Last Dynasty. And here to tell you all about the exhibit that you can see at the Taft is the installing curator, Lisa Morissette. Hello and welcome to Cincinnati Edition, Lisa.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
I want to say when I saw the initial pictures of this exhibition, I was fascinated. Of course, there are dragons involved, so dragons are always attractive to me. But this textile and art that you have on exhibit is just gorgeous, even just in the photographs.
Oh, the use of gold and silk is extravagant in the Chinese textiles. And as you say, dragons are a symbol of the emperor and phoenixes of the empress. And you'll see many of those on the robes, the court robes in the exhibition. But then there's also lovely informal robes and accessories that go along with dress.
Now, these are all pieces that came from a collection at the Denver Art Museum. Talk about where these pieces came from.
Yeah, these are from the Denver's collection. Many of them come from Charlotte Hill Grant's collection. She was in China in the 1920s, just after the fall of the last dynasty, the Qing Dynasty in 1911. And there was a lot of impoverished nobility, and they were willing to sell their textiles. And that's how they really entered into the consciousness of the West and many of the collections at that time.
So when was this? Talk about what the Qing Dynasty was in the big Chinese picture, if you may.
Well, the Qing Dynasty was the last of a long dynastic line in China dating back to the 12th century B.C., you have a continuous rule of dynasties throughout. But what's really different about the Qing Dynasty is that they are not Chinese. They are, in fact, Manchus from what we would consider China today, the far north of China. But that would have been an area beyond the Great Wall. And so for the Chinese, they were foreigners that ruled China at the time.
Now, we were talking a little bit before we sat down for this conversation, and I was expressing my awe at the artistry and just the design and the, at times, ostentatious nature of some of these pieces. And you were saying that this is really a way, as mankind has through the ages, of expressing position through your clothing.
Very definitely. The court robes express status. And they clearly identify your position in society. The Qing really manipulated both the cut of their garments and also the decorations on them, allowing, really, in court robes, no self-expression. You were what you wore. However, when you get to the informal robes, you get a lot of good luck symbols and wish for many boys and happiness and wealth. And there you have some room. Also, the collector in this exhibition, something that's really unusual, are a lot of little pockets because Chinese robes didn't have pockets.
Oh, really?
So where do you put that all-important fan that you need for gesturing or that the few cash that you need to carry? Well, you carried them in little kind of embroidered purses. And that was a place where you had a lot of room for self-expression. And they were very much also a status symbol.
Well, I'm sure a lot of folks have seen some of the art in the advertisement for this exhibition and seen this gorgeous dragon. Maybe not read the finer print that you alluded to it a little bit earlier, that this isn't just silk, but this is silk and gold and silver thread, and these are just amazing works of art.
They are. What you have is silk, which is an important commodity to China, again, very, very old, over 4,000 years. And then they are richly embellished with silk embroidery. And there are many of these that you can get up very close and look at the stitches. There's also gold thread that is then laid on in a stitch that's called a couching stitch, where it just it fills in the ground. And the piece that you're talking about that's on a lot of our advertising is gold thread that forms the dragon, the frontal facing dragon that you see.
Gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. What beyond the robes, what else is here? You mentioned the pockets, if you may. What else will folks see at the Taft?
Well, along with finished robes, there are several kind of ceremonial banners. And ceremonial banners would have been used to create kind of the setting. So that imperial dragon would have been for a court affair. There's also another banner that has a kind of birthday celebration on it. Another that shows an opera scene with a heroine who is doing battle with the person who will eventually be her husband. And that would have been really appropriate, especially because of the brilliant red of its ground, for a wedding celebration. So these kind of banners set the scene. And then there's little details like earrings and shoes for both bound feet, which Chinese women did do, but Manchu women did not. And they wore very tall platform shoes because they wanted to have that kind of swaying gait that bound feet gave the Chinese women. And then an extraordinary headdress that we see, earrings and headdress using kingfisher feathers, which every time I talk to people, I keep pointing out these are the kingfisher feathers. And they're like, where are the feathers? And it's like this extraordinary turquoise blue. That is the feather. And then when people finally see it, they're like, oh, my gosh, because it looks like jewels.
How does this tie in with Taft's collection of the Chinese porcelain? I mean, how do they relate to each other?
Well, actually, they would have formed kind of a whole ensemble, if you will. As I said, imagine you've got a ceremonial backdrop of one of these banners, and then probably flanking that or on an altar table, an arrangement of porcelain. And then the robes are part of that, the robes and accessories that you see. So it's all part of this very rich and elaborate world of display. And also, we often find the same kinds of motifs on clothing, folklore, popular legends. One of my personal favorites are the stories about female heroines, you know, who uphold the values of Confucianism and protect the dynasty. And we have a particularly lovely blue and white vase that has the same kind of theme of women warriors protecting China.
So pretty neat to see how it all ties together then. Yeah. What do you suggest folks who are coming to see Threads of Heaven look for as they're strolling through the exhibit? You know, what would you kind of point out for them to keep an eye out for?
Well, as you move through, it kind of organizes it from kind of looking at the imperial robes, and then you move into kind of more informal robes. And there are even pieces that were never cut out and made. So you really get to see sort of the contrast of a formal language versus an informal language. You can clearly see how the robes are really constructed of parts. Not all one person would have made one garment. And I really would encourage people to look closely to see these very infinitesimal stitches. Anybody who's ever done any embroidery or needlepoint or anything like that will be simply awed at the craftsmanship.
Literally, every piece is an incredible piece of craftsmanship, so it's quite a treasure to see. Well, thank you for sharing a little bit about the exhibit today and for being here on Cincinnati Edition.
My pleasure. I hope people come and see it because this is an aspect of Chinese art that is truly accessible to all. They'll really enjoy it.
Lisa Morissette, the installing curator of the exhibit at the Taft Museum of Art, titled Threads of Heaven, Silken Legacy of China's Last Dynasty, organized by the Denver Art Museum and on view at the Fifth Third Gallery through May 18th at the Taft Museum of Art. You can learn more about the exhibit and the Taft at our website, wvxu.org.